Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words and make them alive to the hearts of the hearer. Change us, God, to see the big picture. Let us leave all this minimized living behind to maximize our potential in God. God, come alive. Bring us alive. Bring us up and out of here. Egypt is a barren land. We're looking for the promised land. Give us a higher look, a higher walk, a bigger view of life. Jesus Christ is broad. He's big. He's expansive. He's a God. God, change our minds to see the big picture and let all the things that have limited us go to the backside of the desert place that we might live in this new fruitful land full of milk and honey with you. God, the plans you have for us, they are so magnanimous and so bigger than this. Expand our borders by expanding our minds. In Jesus' name, we bind the devil and his stinking, filthy armada of angels, his demons and every contrary force, witchcraft workers and warlocks and spellcasters, people that wallow in the filth of this world. We bind you in Jesus' name. And God, loose your people from the restrictions of the devil. Break down walls of demarcation. Bring the body of Christ together on one accord. God, let us walk in the spirit, not fulfilling the lust of our flesh, and take us up higher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are we going to jump off today looking at a guy deconstruct, once saved, always saved? That is one bondage that has to go away. He's going to show you why that just can't be, because we're making the dictates of salvation a work. That's a bad mistake. To walk with God, you've got to live this thing out. It's not an emotional salvation whereby you just feel things. You've got to do something to get saved and stay saved. And that's the truth. So let's look at this first video as he breaks down and deconstructs this religious lie that they're telling.
Questions for you. Are you honestly seeking the truth? And are you willing to change if the truth is contrary to what you believe? What you are about to watch and hear is extremely important. The devil will try anything he can to keep you from hearing the truth. So please put down any distractions and pay close attention and prepare to have your faith challenged by God's word.
Simple prayer, we believe you got it.
God says, I will save you if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart.
Everyone who repents of sin and trusts in Christ have Jesus' righteousness credited to their accounts.
Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
Whenever the question, what must I do to be saved, is brought up, the common answer here is, if you ask God for forgiveness and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the grave 3 days later, that you will be saved. As long as you meet those conditions, God will accept you, he will forgive you, and you can be sure that you will have everlasting life. But are those the only conditions in order to be saved? What if the Bible says it's more than just asking for forgiveness and believing on Jesus Christ? There's a reason why we ask if you are honestly seeking the truth, and if you will change what you believe if the truth is contrary to what you believe. Because what we are going to do is we are going to open your eyes to the lies and the deception inside the church. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5, 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So these verses speak very plainly and very clear that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. But unless you are pure in heart, you shall not see God. Unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a certain righteousness and holiness and purity we must have in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we see from Scripture. We see two camps, the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. We see those two camps, the difference, and the evil is always punished. But the good, the righteous, the pure, they're always rewarded with life. Genesis 38:7. And Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord. The Lord slew him. Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 37, verse 20, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, and they shall consume away. Proverbs 11, 4 through 6, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Proverbs 12, verse 28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. So we see that we need to be righteous, pure, and holy to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and to enter into life. But we see the wicked being punished with eternal torment in hell. But what kind of holiness is the Bible referring to? This is the part that is extremely important, because as we know from the verses we looked at before, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Christianity teaches that when Jesus came to earth, he lived a perfect life that we could not live for us. They teach that Jesus Christ's death on the cross pays for all sins for all time. That includes past sins, your present sins, and all the future sins you are going to commit. When someone asks God for forgiveness of their sins and puts their trust in Jesus, Jesus Christ's righteousness is then transferred to them and covers them. This way, when they stand before God on Judgment Day, God doesn't see them as the sinners they are, but sees Jesus Christ's righteousness instead. This means that they are holy in the sight of God and can enter into heaven, even though underneath they do not meet the requirements to enter into heaven because they still continue to sin. Imagine you are in a courtroom. You've broken God's law, the Ten Commandments, and you are guilty before God and deserve hell. But then Jesus comes in and says, wait, no, I'll pay their fine. Since Jesus did not break the law at all, he can pay your fine and he can take your place. You get Jesus Christ's good record and he gets your bad record. Makes pretty good sense, right? I mean, it's what I believed and I taught for quite some time. But the true question is it biblical? Does the Bible line up with this belief? Is this the holiness that we must have in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Let's take a look at what the Bible says. Now, we already know Hebrews 12:14, that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But let's take a look at John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. See how it says that those who have done good go to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil go to the resurrection of damnation. According to modern Christianity, Christians will sin till the day they die, but they'll still go to heaven because they're covered in Christ's righteousness. But according to John 5, 28 through 29, those who do good go to the resurrection of life, and those who do evil or do sin go to the resurrection of damnation. Matthew 13, 41 through 43, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We see in this passage that the angels shall come forth and shall gather all those who do iniquity or do sin and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. This goes against what modern Christianity teaches, because they say we will remain sinners and still have Christ's righteousness covering us. This passage clearly says that those who commit sin shall be cast into the furnace of fire, but later says that the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. This means that the righteous are not those who are committing sin, because those who are committing sin are being cast into the furnace of fire. Matthew 25, 41 through 46. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these, who did not love the least of these, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, those who did love the least of these, into life eternal. Here in Matthew 25, we see those who did not love the least of these being cast into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, those who did love the least of these, being rewarded with eternal life. The difference between these two groups was not that one was covered in Christ's righteousness and the other one wasn't. The difference is that one was obeying God's command to love their neighbor as themselves and were rewarded with eternal life. And the other one was disobeying God's command to love their neighbor as themselves and were punished with eternal torment in hell. 1 John 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. We read very clearly, he who does righteousness, or in other words, he who does what is right, is righteous. You cannot be righteous unless you are doing what is right. This is why we see those who do good going to the resurrection of life, and those who do evil going to the resurrection of damnation. That's why we see those who do iniquity or commit sin going to the eternal furnace, while those who are righteous shine forth in the kingdom of their Father in heaven. You are not righteous because Christ's righteousness covers you. It is because you have forsaken your sin, you are living a life that is pleasing to God, and because of this, you are forgiven. And the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all the sins you've previously committed. Proverbs 28:13, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Acts 10, 34 through 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Romans 2:13, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Hebrews 5 verse 9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." James 2 verse 24, "Ye see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." 1 John 2 verses 3 through 4, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Revelation 22 verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Galatians 5 verse 24, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Romans 6, 6 through 7, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Romans 6, 16 through 22, "Know ye not, but to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life." Because of all the lies that are being pushed into the church, many people believe that they can't be holy, that they can't obey God, that they can't live a life pleasing to God right here on earth. But then again, if we take a look at what the Bible says, it changes all of that. Genesis 7:1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Job 1:1, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Luke 1, verses 5 through 6, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Matthew 1, verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Note the word "just man." Acts 10, verse 22, "And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and hear words of thee." Acts 23:1, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." 2 Timothy 1 verse 3, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. 2 Peter 2, verses 7 through 8, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. 1 John 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. These verses show people who are pure, holy, just, righteous, pure in conscience, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. This is the exact kind of righteousness we need to have in order to be saved. And it's not something that is just transferred from Christ. As 1 John 3, 7 says, he that does what is right is righteous. And Ezekiel 18, 21 through 22, which says, if you will turn from your sins and follow all my commandments, that I will not remember your sin, and you will be considered or reckoned or judged as righteous. Not only does modern Christianity teach a false gospel, picking and choosing the conditions for salvation, they also believe that once you meet the conditions for salvation at one point or one time in your life, that you have a guarantee that you will go to heaven no matter what you do. This belief is called eternal security, also known as once saved, always saved. But is it biblical? Let's take a look at what the Bible says. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We read very clearly that he who commits sin is of the devil. Now let me ask you this, is the devil and those of the devil going to heaven or to hell? Can you be of the devil and also pure and holy in heart? John 8, verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He who commits sin serves sin. But let's not forget what Romans 6, 16 says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. If you commit sin or serve sin, it leads to eternal death in hell. But we must obey righteousness, or in other words, obey God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These verses are very clear. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And all those people who committed those sins, they're not going to heaven. They are going to the second death in hell. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 10, 32 through 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Here we see that if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. If we deny Jesus, Jesus will deny us. It does not get any clearer than that. There's no need for explanation. It doesn't get any clearer. Hebrews 10, 26 through 27. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. If we sin, we are not meeting the conditions in order to be saved, which is holiness or obeying God's commands. If we sin, we are removed from our right standing with God and are under His wrath. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you think you are in the light or a Christian and you are walking in darkness or sin, 1 John 1 verses 5 through 7 says you are a liar. We must do as verse 7 says, which is to walk in the light or to walk in righteousness. Once we do that, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all the sin we've committed. Second Corinthians 11, 14 through 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Those who are inside the church system, you have been lied to. The gospel that is preached inside these churches appears to be the truth and appears to be lined up with Scripture. But that gospel will leave you in your sins, by which you will be condemned by God. Are you in this mess? If you are among those who are sinners and unrighteous, cry out to God today and ask Him for forgiveness, for rebelling against His commands, living in disobedience, calling Him Lord, Lord, when you're working iniquity. Cry out to Him, confess your sins, and then forsake them. Leave them behind, never to be repeated, and follow God's word in holiness. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Just live like somebody from the pit of hell and imagine that God is going to let you in anyway. That's a lie. That is not true. And anybody teaching that lie is deceived. So as you sit there and listen to Charles Stanley and John MacArthur and all these folks you think are astute Bible expositors, they're telling you a bold-faced lie. Standing there in a nice $500 suit and a button-down collar and a nice tie, and it's just a big, bold-faced lie. The devil comes as an angel of light, and his ministers come as ministers of righteousness. Read the Bible. Stay in the Bible. We're not talking about eternal perfection on earth, whereby you're perfect, but you can walk in righteousness. Your heart will be a governor, and the Holy Ghost is given to convict us when we get outside of God's will and His word. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Because if you have a heart for God, He will convict you when you do something wrong. So you got a governor inside of you that's saying, hey, you went past the boundaries. You trespassed. You went past the limitation, and He'll reel you back in again. That's why you can't depend on folks telling you the truth. You got to read this Bible for yourself. All right, let's break down this word here. And we'll intersperse a quick tape by Derek Prince along the trail. It's about 10 minutes. And then another one that's about 4 or 5 minutes as we get to the end. We're talking about the curse of the niggerized mind. The word niggerized. It's programmed to think like a low-class person. See, the word nigger was a derogatory term that means you're a low-class person. You're nothing. You're the scum of the earth. You're gum on the bottom of everybody's shoes. So that curse will have you look at yourself in a depreciated fashion whereby you're less than everybody else. You don't have to be told to go to the back of the bus. You go to the back of the bus by nature. That's bad. When you walk into a room and you look for the dark corner, you go to the back all the time and you never expect anything for yourself because you're so depreciated and you have no self-worth. That's a bad program to run in you. You can't talk and look somebody in the eyes. Your eyes are always downcast. Some places you don't go because I don't fit in there. Can't go to a formal function because you don't even own a suit. You know, it used to be a time when ladies used to get dressed to the nines. You know, they'd be sharp. You know, I was telling Ashley today, come here, Ashley. When she came and I said, everybody that I ever knew growing up, if you were a woman, everybody had a basic black dress. That's the classic dress, a basic black dress with white pearls. And everybody just knew to have one because you kept that in your wardrobe because for any formal occasion or like an after five occasion, you had your basic black dress. And everybody had one. That was just normal. Now, some yoga pants and a bikini top. You know, just crazy. Nobody got the style, Cash. They're not stylish. They're not classic. You should have classic staples in your wardrobe for occasions because you've been taught the basic dictates of being a woman and being feminine. We have lost that. Even back when you had folks that went Hollywood that might have been kind of wild, they knew how to dress. Elizabeth Taylor was dressed to the max. You know, you get all these folk, Grace Kelly, dressed to the nines. These folk were sharp. You know, they walk around their little hats on and all the stuff matching and pearls. But now, I mean, what about a sundress and some sandals on a summer day? A guy is walking around not knowing what he's looking for, but he's not looking for that over there. He knows that instinctively. Because guys disrespect women because you disrespect yourself. It's how you carry yourself that's going to determine how you're treated. People make snap decisions about you as soon as you walk into a room. So what we've seen happen in society is everybody has lowered the standards because the devil has lowered the standards. And since everybody locks in on what the devil says is right, you follow the devil's dictates for life. And now everybody's just a raggedy, beat up, worn out bum as a guy and a whore as a woman, thinking that dressing like a whore is glamorous. That's why you got somebody like Amber Rose butt naked, sitting up with a vagina and all of her feminine parts shown and walking around like she's proud and she's done something big. That's a niggerized mind. You're a whore, a tramp, low life, just treated like a nothing and proud of it. That is crazy. I sat in the barbershop yesterday and they had the BET Awards show on. Everybody in the place was crazy. Minds have been niggerized. See, they've accepted the lowest common denominators as normal. A guy walk on stage raggedy, beat up, plaits draped down his head, crazy looking, just a weirdo, and everybody applaud them as if they are the examples of dignity and human virtue. I mean, what happened to people? I mean, all these civil rights marches, all these demonstrations, all these water hoses on folks and German Shepherd dogs loosed on them to go to college, get an education, amalgamate into the society, and be successful. And at the end of all of this sacrifice, you got these folks walking around looking crazy. 2 Chainz is the standard. Rick Ross, Jay-Z, cursing at you, calling you a dog, using all these curse words in all of his songs, and actually referring to you as a nigga. Why does he get a free pass saying the word nigga? A jigger. He got a song on his new album called Still a Nigga. And I don't care how much money you had and what you did, you still a nigga. You know, then he said you a house nigga, field nigga, you a champagne sipping nigga, you still a nigga. That's what he's programming into the people. I mean, I don't know why black people get so mad about the term. They call each other that all day long. Because that's the view they have of each other. Nothing. That's why a black boy kills another black boy, because he's nothing like me. He has no value. Shoot him, and I shot nothing. That's the program running in their minds. I have no value as a man. You have no value as a man, so I kill you, I kill nothing. Because you're nobody. This thing is ingrained in people from top to bottom. And we're going to show you how this is all inclusive. It includes white people, black people, Hispanic people, Oriental people, and everything in between. Their minds have been programmed to believe that I'm nothing and somebody's supposed to tell me what to do. And I make heroes to follow because I have to be subservient to somebody, because everybody needs somebody to worship. And they put themselves in this state and they accept whatever somebody tells them is true and they follow it by nature. That's a niggerized mind. When you see yourself dependent on other folks to tell you what truth is, to lead you, to instruct you, when God has given you a Bible personally handed to you for you to know him, to get your own personal identity in Christ, why would you trust in flesh? Why would you try to follow somebody at that state? You've got to come to terms with your identity from a heavenly perspective, not based on people on earth who are all going to fail you. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to abandon you at some point. If they don't leave, you'll leave. So what are we doing? It's a bad program running, and I'll show you how it's shown forth in the Bible. I sat in that barbershop and watched all those guys getting haircuts, and all of them just raggedy. You getting a haircut and get out of the chair and you're still raggedy? And then watch the barber give a guy a perfect lineup with his clippers, and then got a big pile of nap knots on top of the guys. He take a brush and just brush all those naps up into a big old fluffy nap ball. And the guy get up and pay the guy and walk out happy. I mean, what happened to your mind to make you believe that looked good? BET, VH1, MTV, they were taught to look like that. And with a nigger program, they walk around looking like 1920s field bums, 1813 slaves, plantation mandingos. In 2017, we're seeing people actually degrade and go backwards in time to become a cotton-picking slave, walking around looking like somebody the dog drug in, all because Lil Wayne told you this is the status quo. Ninth Ward bomb, syrup sipping bomb, drug addict telling you what's in vogue. How all these girls transformed into harlots, strippers, porn stars walking around because somebody told them that this is glamorous. This looks good. So you got that mind that's focused on the external. The environment is dictating to you reality, and you're trying to do what? Fit in. See, this is what's happening, And to fit in with us, you've got to change into what we are. Remember the fallen angels? Remember the angels came into Lot, into Lot's household in Sodom and Gomorrah. The homosexual men said, bring them out that we may know them. The real Hebrew is, bring them out that we may make of them what we are. That's how the devil does this. He has to get you to buy into his program to make you into what his depiction of a normal human being is. You ever seen a young girl meet a nice guy, begin to date the guy, he's treating her like she's made a goal, and her friends tell her, you dating a lame guy. That guy lame. He a square. Good girls like bad boys. That's so stupid. Here's this bum with nothing, stupid, ignorant, with his pants pulled down to his knees, nappy hair draped down his back, gold grill, walking down the street next to you, and this girl's got a guy that's in law school, got his own condo, ready to make a move in life. He'll be pulling down $175,000 a year here in about 3 years, and he's lame. You better leave those stupid girlfriends alone. You better drop them like a bad habit. Because they're doing bad, they don't want to see you doing good. Envy is a monster. They're not telling you that because they're telling you good advice. They're telling you that because they envy you. You can do bad all by yourself, man. Why hang around people that's dragging you down? I mean, get with somebody that's going somewhere. Don't get with why would you get into a car that's broke down with no tires on it? I can tell you one thing about that car. You know what I can tell you? That ain't going nowhere. Oh, you made a bad mistake.
Yes.
That car ain't going nowhere. Get in a car that's going somewhere. I mean, you know what? When you come out of high school at 17, 18 years old, after 4 or 5 years of school and you come out of there with your degree or your graduate degree, you're going to feel a lot better when you and your girlfriend's going down to the Caribbean for about a week on vacation, and you're able to walk into one of those Caribbean jewelry shops and buy yourself a necklace because you got your money, you got your wardrobe, you don't ask anybody for anything. You're a lot better off than your friend that's flipping no burgers at McDonald's, wishing I could go somewhere. You going on vacation? Yeah, I'm going to probably go down to Macon. A vacation is going to the mall. I mean, you should be going. We had a little girl that came to the conference with us. She just finished medical school. It was 5 black girls that finished medical school together. We went to her little graduation party. 5 of them sitting around the table. All of them came out of medical school, young black physicians getting ready to go and do their residency. When she graduated from medical school, her and about 6 or 7 girls from her medical class went to Europe for a week, or 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks. They toured Europe together. Went to France and Germany, Spain, Italy. Had a great time and came back. Then they went to the appointed hospitals for their residency. Most folk can't even break out of this little old microscopic life to even imagine that. I said, look, go out further. Get as far away from them as you can. Stop thinking black, white, and racial stuff. Just walk with people that are going somewhere. So you got to lose all this racial identity stuff. Because you'll find out real fast when you matriculate through environments with different racial groups, folks that are legitimate don't care about your race. If you got a white racist, that's a nigger mind. He's just a white nigger. Because he got a limited scope of life. He's basing his existence on racial characteristics and racial things and melanin content in the skin. He's got a bound, chained, slave mind. But you'll meet other white people that don't care nothing about your race. And you better stop trying to decide who you're going to marry based on race. You better get with somebody that loves you for real as you and going somewhere and you can work together and be on the same page together. break these shackles off of your mind. Saying Al Sharpton's world and Jesse Jackson's world don't exist no more. You got to be an upwardly mobile, upward thinking, forward thinking person now that's not limited in your scope by anything the devil puts on you. I watched a whole auditorium full of folks at the BET Awards singing all those rap songs and mouthing them as those guys up there rapping, looking like organ grinders, monkeys standing on the stage, and everybody swaying to the beat like they're just monkeys in the audience, just like somebody stupid, to that brain dead, discombobulated, dumbed down, arrested, developed junk pumped into their souls. And now the OGs, the old line rappers, are mad at the young boys because they're not saying anything that's really artistic and productive like we were. See, I came up with NWA and Dr. Dre. And back in the day, see, when Tupac was around and Biggie, see, these were valid guys. You know, KRS-One, you know, Kool Herc, all those guys. Afrika Bambaataa, I think he's a child molester. See, I came up with these guys. They had a social consciousness. They had a real message. They were the people who brought the game up, man, and we were real. But now these guys don't say, they just curse and they just talk a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It don't mean nothing. They just, you know, saying nothing, man. But back then, see, we had a real standard set. Niggerized mind. That dumbed down junk making nursery rhymes to beats, and you thought it meant something with your level of thinking. That's a person that's been arrested in their development. Man, become an engineer. Become a mathematician. Doctor, lawyer. Take on a trade. Become an electrician. Become somebody that's an IT specialist. Man, what are you doing making nursery rhymes to beats? You talk to young girls and boys in the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. Young boys will tell you, I want to be a rapper. That's my lifelong dream. Then they'll tell me, no, man, it's an art form. It's poetry. And it's, man, come off all that, man. How many poets you think going to make a living down here? They're going to limit the number of rappers anyway because they need consumers of the rap. They're gonna let all y'all into this. This thing has been dumbed down to the lowest common denominator. It's a pitiful sight to look at it. The young boys in school will tell you, I want to be a rapper. And you got some girls in 11th or 12th grade telling you, my lifelong dream is to become a stripper. My sister a stripper. My auntie a stripper. Some of their mothers are strippers. And my auntie making $2,500 a week. She got the body and the face, just like, maybe you'd be pretty girls too. Pretty girls. And you're thinking, that's your life? That's what you want to do? Yeah. You don't know the money they make. See, you don't know. You a square. You a lame. You don't understand the game, man. Atlanta is a high-line stripper city. That's what Atlanta's known for, because Atlanta's one of the only cities that will serve alcohol at the strip joints. I think Atlanta and Las Vegas. They try to separate those two things, but Atlanta, it's an open city where you can serve the liquor at the strip joint. So the strippers come here because there's big money in those strip joints. You know, a drunk bum will give you more money than a sober one. So I think T.I. opened up his strip joint. The prettiest stripper in the joint made $30,000 when they opened up that night. She made $30,000 in one night. Now you're telling her you need to get your education, you need to go to college, and the girl making $3,000 tax-free in a strip joint, now that's over the table. Under the table is back at the hotels when the strip joint closed down. That's where you make the $1,000 payoffs with the high rollers from out of town, the NFL players, the NBA stars, the Major League Baseball stars, the high roller rappers, and the biggest money boys of all, the drug pushers. See, after the strip joint closes down, $2,000 party back at the hotel room, you making $2,000 per stripper. Take three or four girls back. Now, you got to do anything now. but $2,000 every Saturday night just for kicks, along with your regular $2,500 a week, $4,500 a week, and they pulling up in Maseratis, you know, Lamborghinis, got condos, nails always immaculate. They walk around looking like they just made of gold because they got so much stuff going on. But man, the price is paid behind the scenes.
Right.
You got a city like Atlanta, New York, LA, Chicago, Miami, the fly girls. See, all these girls trying to be fly, they trying to just line up for the players to get paid. So they work on their bodies all day at the gym. They, you know, they cutting themselves out, you know, got that body. If they don't have a booty, they go and buy one. If they don't have breasts, they go and buy some.
Right.
They don't have hair, they rent some. See, everything is make-believe, is designer now, because I'm designing myself for the players because I want to be on somebody's arm to get paid. When they have a BET Awards, that bad-bodied, you know, boss girl, they call them boss bees with, you know, a female dog, all the players got to show up with that on their arm. And, of course, behind the scenes, the player is sodomizing his buddy because he's a homosexual. But they have the boss girls hanging around like we all, you know, just fly guys, players that run the women hard and don't even like women. So all this is going on in this make-believe, perverted, crazy world. All the forces you feel around you is because of this scenario that's being painted by the devil and made up by him. It's a fake, weird, crazy menagerie of life now. That's just insane, and you're walking in the middle of it. I was walking around the other day thinking how crazy all this looks. It's, and you sit in the barbershop, and everybody getting up crazy out of the chair with their crazy haircuts, long dreadlocks down their back, and then a lineup. I mean, a lineup with all this matted up, nasty, unwashed, roach-infested mess in your head. Got spider webs and stuff in your head. You could be Spider-Man. And getting to have the nerve to get a lineup. And I say all of this, and you know that mind is offended in me. They hate this, like you just think you better than other people. They don't understand how abnormal they are. They don't see how the insanity has taken them over. Look at Gabrielle Union. In softcore porn on BET talking about she's Mary Jane. That's porn. Everybody tuning in to Power every week on the Stars Network. That's pornography. They feed on this stuff. The Kardashians got rich getting butt naked in public. All these folks with Paris Hilton, all of them been naked. They're softcore porn stars, and that was the catalyst that rose them to preeminence and fame. And now it's normalized in the young people's minds, like, well, being a whore is like a claim to fame. You can call them that to their face. The girls will run together and talk about, I run with my bees, my female dogs. Me and my bees going down to the islands for a few days. They run in packs like 6-7 girls, me and my bad bees. We own nail shops and hair studios, and we fly girls, we run with the rappers, and we got a bunch of money, and we highline, you know, so-and-so paying for my car, you know, 2 Chainz, or Waka Flocka Flame bought me a car. Waka Flocka Flame bought you a car. This is crazy. 50 Cent bought me a brand new ring, bought me a car, paying for my condo. We're going to get married. I guess you'll be 25 cents. It's better hair. Have a kid, 5 cent, 10 cent, and 15 cent, you know. But you see how arrested this is? How limited in your mind you have to be to walk in this stuff? Running behind it and deconstructing Jay-Z's new album, a 50-year-old man making rap, and people got the nerve to try to deconstruct it. And you religious folks, stop trying to analyze that junk when they bring it out, finding the hidden messages in Jay-Z's album, showing you the Illuminati messages in Jay-Z's album. Look at the occult symbolism and the allegiances to Aleister Crowley and Jay. Man, look, preach the gospel and stop deconstructing that junk. keep talking about hip-hop 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Man, at some point, man, we understand hip-hop is crazy. I can sum up a hip-hop message in 5 words. Hip-hop is crazy. 4 words.
That's
all you need to know. 4 more words will wrap up the whole message. Hip-hop is crazy. First 4. Stay away from it. Last 4. 8 words, you got the summation of the whole deal. Why you got to go and analyze the hidden messages of Beyonce? Let's deconstruct what Nicki Minaj just said. Let's take a closer look at KRS-One and where it came from. Hip-hop is a religion, and here's why. Why are you doing all of this? You know why it happens? Because the church has no power. So therefore, we meditate on the world and examine it all day. That's why I'm trying to deconstruct that mind in order for God to reconstruct the spiritual mind so we can walk in the power of the Spirit. Remember, Jesus went away, driven into the Spirit by the into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost, but he came back in the power of the Spirit. God's going to deconstruct and reconstruct you to walk in the power of the Spirit. Not just talking about the Holy Ghost, but being filled with him. That's what we're after. We got to get rid of this mind that's placing these shackles and limitations on everybody. I mean, style, class, dignity, honor, virtue, valor, bravery, courage, all of that. And the greatest victims of it all are the women. The women just been drugged through the mud. I mean, women have come down to the lowest level of living and just everything about them, undignified. They just been taken to the sewer by these bums, trying to live down to their expectations. Doing everything a dog would do in a bed somewhere, and get up dehumanized, ashamed of yourself, and embarrassed. And now you got to put up that shield of pride like don't nothing move you because you're so ashamed and humiliated inside. You got to pretend like don't nothing move you now. Cause of the dirt you've done. So when you've been drugged down into the bowels of depravity, you put up a shield, another you. So you create a false you. This thing, this caricature you put in front of you to make people deal with it because you're so ashamed of yourself. You can't really face people because you've been so humiliated and undignified. That's why they cuss you out so fast. You wear a cussing out real fast with that kind of a person because they're really ashamed of themselves. And you put your hand on that shame, they just respond violently to back you up off of them. But see the stuff they've done? I mean, how in the world does Tony Braxton end up with Birdman? Ain't that a cartoon character, a Marvel character in the comic? Birdman. Just come on the cartoons on Saturday morning. Birdman! Y'all remember that cartoon? Now, where y'all from? Y'all from America. But here this guy is. Tony Braxton used to be one of the most beautiful girls around back in the day. Fine as all outdoors. And now she matriculated down through life and got to Birdman. What happened? When you've been trashed out and run through the ringer? And when you used up and burn out? You take any bus that comes through the station. That's why I tell folks, become an individual with dignity that you can walk by yourself.
Right.
You don't need any validation, vindication, or verification from anybody. I have an identity in Jesus Christ. I don't need you to sign off on me. That's why Jesus always asked people, "Would thou be made whole?" So you don't need any outside resource the devil's putting into you in order to validate yourself. Folks always trying to sign off on who you are and what you are based on their low life expectations of you. Man, forget them. You don't need them to sign off on you. You're accepted in the beloved. Walk in it. Embrace it. and don't need anybody to validate you. You can't get married looking for validation from your husband or your wife. You got to be whole in Christ. Two halves don't make a whole in God's economy. Two wholes make a whole. Got to have your own life. You got to have your own relationship with Jesus Christ and not live as a leech trying to draw the blood out of somebody else. A blood-sucking leech. What I'm saying is right. It's valid. It will validate you. And you won't walk in pride. The Bible says don't walk in pride, but he tells you to walk in boldness. It's a difference between pride and boldness. When you're bold, he says he makes you bold as a lion. You don't let anybody walk over you and don't let anybody denigrate you because I know who I am in Christ. I don't have to take the back seat to anybody. That's not pride. That's the boldness of a saint of God. You are accepted in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ ain't some little punk boy from around the corner somewhere that people just walk over. It don't happen like that, man. You are the only one that's right. I can walk into the BET Awards and be the only one that's right in there. That's all it is. See, it don't make no matter, don't make it a difference what they think about it. I'm right. All 5,000 of you are wrong.
That's
right. See, it don't change. Numbers don't mean anything in God's economy. He told you it's a narrow way and few there be that find it. So in any given environment, you're going to be the minority. It don't make any difference. All these boobs swaying to the beat and listening to the amigos rap to them, they're all wrong. I'm right. The girl standing there half naked, looking crazy, breast and behind everywhere, and a girl standing there in a nice, demure evening gown, the girl that's half naked is just wrong, and the demure, classy lady is just right. What should you apologize for? Why would you walk into the midst of people dressed like harlots, sharp as a tack, and you feel out of place? All y'all out of place. I'm sharp. I got my stuff together. Y'all looking like ninnies up in here. I got some style. And all the guys going to know it too. I don't care how messed up they seem to be. They're going to know that girl right there. Don't step up there any kind of way. Now the rest of y'all hoes, you going over to the table, y'all gonna get me a drink. Go get me a drink, ho. We're calling that to her face too. And then calling you ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am, excuse me. You be trying to get to the other girl, excuse me. Hey, ho. Say, ma'am, you excuse me, ma'am. Hey, ho, come here. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, excuse me. Ain't that crazy? Ain't that crazy? I mean, it changes up all by itself. But you get back what you put into something. You carried yourself like that. You take what they call you and then get mad at the demure, classy girl because they don't treat her like that. Well, who's she supposed to be? My wife was working at a job one time, sitting at her desk. A guy came in with other women in the environment. He cursed and told my wife, oh, excuse me, Miss Price. And the other girl said, well, why are you going to apologize to her? Now, the answer to that question is because you a hoe. You trashed out. You a slut. I don't respect you. I respect her. That's the answer to the question. Well, she's not the only one that's a woman in here. You a lady. Why are you going to just say, excuse me, Miss Price? Well, I think the answer is evident. But that's the low-down living we're looking at. Everybody's just low-down. I mean, they're just nasty, just crawling on the ground, amoeba level nasty. Man, raise up, clean up, take a bath, brush your teeth, get a haircut, fix your hair. Now, nappy-headed women are in vogue. I'm not talking about an afro. See, an afro was nice, like an Angela Davis afro back in the day. But they got just like Brillo pad and bird's nests and lint balls and cotton balls and fibers and all kinds of, you know. And walking around just walking in somewhere. I look terrible. That ain't natural. That's stupid.
Right.
It's one thing to have natural hair. It's another thing to have stupid hair. See, that's your opinion. That ain't my opinion. That's a fact, Jack. I don't like how you're saying it. I'm not going to say it any lower. I don't talk like Don Lemon. I don't talk like Anderson Cooper or Shepard Smith. I'm not a girl. I'm going to tell you just what I said, mean what I said, right in your face, take it or leave it. That's how it's going down. Because we got too many mealy-mouthed guys around here trying to tolerate and be all-inclusive and be a part of the system. A standard must be raised again. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him.
Right.
We got to raise a standard. Somebody got to be classy again as a woman. Somebody got to be dignified again as a man. Joe is going to the pulpit and beat up tennis shoe, a t-shirt and some jeans. Man, you're an ambassador representing Christ. I don't get dressed to impress. I get dressed to represent. I'm sent from heaven to earth as an ambassador from a king, and I'm going to dress like I represent royalty. You don't have any respect for God. That's your problem. You don't even know who God is. Well, just come as you are. Come as you are, then change what you are. He accepts you as you are. Now change. See, this thing is rock bottom living. This is the most degraded, depreciated, low-life, scumbag mess ever in the history of earth. And he's just looking at this trash and trying to accept it. Juanita Bynum walking around in bedroom shoes in the pulpit and an old beat-up jean dress and some old t-shirt trying to look humble, talking about a prophetess. That ain't a prophetess. That's somebody that's a bag laid on the corner of Broad Street and 10th begging for a few dollars to get a McDonald's hamburger.